And we're turning our attention to the outcome of an athletic competition that you heard about here on the show. This is not a sports talk show, but a local person and personality involved, and the person I'm talking about is Beth Rippins, who's joining us here in studio. Welcome back.
Good morning, Barry.
You've been traveling the world and competing, and now you're here to tell us what happened with the Whitewater World Championships.
Right? I am. I just returned last week.
Yes, and?
And, drumroll, we won.
They won, ladies and gentlemen. You and your teammates from years gone by.
Right, we
reunited.
Right. Yeah, we are actually Whitewater World Champions from the 90s, and it had been 18 years since we had done anything together in a boat, and so we thought, well, you know, it's 2018, let's just see what we can do. Mm-hmm. And so we trained up this year and got to practice a couple of times together. We all trained on our own and paddled on our own, and we did a lot of outrigger paddling to prepare for being in a raft together. Mm-hmm. And we got to Argentina. It was 3 days of travel. It's a very remote part of Argentina in the southwest of the country. It's Patagonia. And it's springtime there, so it's absolutely beautiful, high desert, beautiful snow-capped peaks surrounding a gorgeous valley with wild-looking trees and birds and a stunning river with crystal clear blue water and big class 4 white water.
Mm-hmm. 3 days of travel just to get to the site.
Yeah, it was rugged. Yeah, wow. It was really rugged travel. Wow. Yeah, very remote.
Mm-hmm. Like mules and burros. And
long plane rides, long bus rides, more waiting, long planes and buses. Yeah.
And so competitors in this was a masters competition. Was it just masters or was it all?
No. So this was the Whitewater World Championships. Mm-hmm. So in our day, back in the 90s, there was just what we called the open category, which is anybody between the ages of 23 and 39, mm-hmm. from teams all over the world. And in all of the years that we weren't there, the sport has expanded dramatically. And there are categories of under 19, so basically kids. There's a category for under 23. There's the open category. And then there's the masters category.
Gotcha. And so you're competing in the masters with your teammates from the past. And what was the mood when you began the competition? Did you feel confident? Was everybody hyped up and ready to go?
We were really, really excited to be there. It's so exciting to see the teams from all over the world, to see people that, you know, are still involved in the sport. There, some people that we raced against are still involved now in the masters category. Other people that we got to meet, some of the younger people are actually children of people that we raced against and raced with. And it's a week-long event with paddling every single day. So there's actually 4 different competitions throughout the week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit. It was big. It's very demanding physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, mentally.
Yeah.
And each of the events is a point series. So in each event, you get points. So in the first event, which is a sprint, it's like a time trial, you have the potential to win 100 points. And in the second event, then the next day, which is what we call the head-to-head, where you're racing another team through a rapid around some buoys, so there's obstacles, there's the potential to win 200 points. And then depending on where you fall, you know, is second, third, fourth place, et cetera, you garner that amount of points. Mm-hmm. And then in the third event, it's a slalom event. So if people have ever, any of your listeners have ever seen like slalom kayaking in the Olympics, that's in a summer sport, or slalom skiing, where people go in and out of gates. So we do that in the raft. We go in and out of gates in a rapid, and it's very, very, very demanding. And really hard, really technical, easy to miss a gate. And what happens in the slalom is that if you hit the gate, you get 5 seconds added onto your overall score. And if you miss the gate, you get 50 seconds added onto your overall score. So it's very demanding. Mm-hmm. You can win 300 points with the slalom. Mm-hmm. And then the final event is a big downriver event where you race downstream through big whitewater. Took us 56 minutes, so it's just about an hour of paddling your brains out. Mm. And that event is worth 400 points.
So 1,000 points across all those events.
Correct.
And what was your final score?
Well, our final score was 916 points, and the final score of the Norwegian Masters women team was 916 points. So we were tied with them, and the way the tiebreak works is that whoever did better in the slalom, whoever has a higher score, wins the overall championship.
And that was you.
And that was us.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really exciting. So what happened for us is that, you know, as I said, we didn't really know how we would do. You know, we train really hard. We work super hard. We know we're really, really fit. Our endurance is good. But other than that, like, we don't know what the competition's going to be like.
Sure.
And so we were always right behind the Norwegians. You know, there's other teams in the Masters divisions, but they were, you know, behind us. So we were mostly trying to get ahead of the Norwegians, and we kept on coming in second to them, mm-hmm. a couple seconds behind them, 1 second, 2 second. And we're like, crap, you know, what is it? And they're much bigger than us. Like, I'm 5'6" and a half. I weigh 145 pounds, 150 pounds. And I'm the biggest person on my team. So we're all, you know, around my size or a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. One of my teammates is only 117 pounds. So we're pretty small, but we're really strong. Mm-hmm. These women are giant. You know, they're like another 5 inches on us. They must weigh at least, like the smallest one must weigh 180 pounds.
Wow.
So they just have so much more power that they can generate every single time they put their paddle in the water. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, yeah, they're bigger and stronger, but we're more fit. We're going to be able to take them because of our fitness. And we weren't. We were always just right behind them. And then when we got to the slalom event, so we're, you know, in second place at this point, continually winning second, getting silver medals in each event. And we get to the slalom, and that's really kind of our secret weapon. And one of my teammates is a former U.S. national slalom champion. And so she's really able to coach us in such a way that we're able to be as efficient and clean as possible. And you get two runs through the slalom gates. We got a whole day of practice, and then they change the course at night, so you're dealing with a completely new set of obstacles. And you get there in the morning, and then you have to look at the course, and you figure out just by looking what you're going to do. And then we got two runs. Our first run was horrible. We were shocked at how poorly we did. And in our second run, we completely put it together. We did almost exactly what we wanted to. We had some touches that cost us 5 seconds in a few spots, but we got all of the gates we wanted to. And we even had some excitement in the middle of a rapid where we were surfing in a hole. We didn't do it exactly like we planned, but we were able to recover and get the boat exactly where we wanted. And we ended up winning the slalom. Mm-hmm. And the Norwegians, who we had been battling, ended up coming in last place in the slalom.
Ooh, that was the difference, right?
That was the difference. And so in the gathering of points, at the end of the race on the next day, which is the downriver race, where 400 points are at stake, they beat us once again. We were at the in front of them at the start. We got a really great start, and within like 2 or 3 minutes, they freaking passed us. And there was like we were paddling our brains out, and they just like pulled in front of us, and there they went. And they finished, you know, an almost hour race a minute ahead of us, which in an hour race isn't that big of, but it was just so disheartening to have them be able to come up and meet us and pull past us. So then there we are at the end of the race with the exact same number of points. And I didn't know how the rules of the competition worked in this day and age. And so I was like, well, you know, we did the best we can. I mean, we're here to have fun. We're here to see what we can do. We're here to, you know, get to see all these other teams and experience international competition in our age group. And, you know, I had no idea. And then we got to the finish and, you know, we're congratulating each other and celebrating. And because for us, we won, you know, we didn't know that we had won, but for us, we won by getting to be in this beautiful place and do all this. Mm. And then one of the event organizers said, do you know what the news is? I said, I have no idea. He said, you guys are tied. And because you won the slalom, you take the championship.
Wow. How'd that feel?
It was so unbelievable. It's still unbelievable to me, Barry.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're now 3-time world champions. Ha! I can't believe it.
How many days ago is this now?
I returned a week ago tomorrow.
Okay. Just so it's all still fresh.
It's so fresh.
That's
yeah.
so great. And, you know, the other part of the story that we haven't talked about this time around, we talked about last time you were here, but your knee replacement and all that that led up to this. You had this long rehab and getting ready for this and anticipation and, you know, the payoff must be enormous for
yeah.
you emotionally.
Yeah, thank you so much for acknowledging that. It was a giant success for me. I'm just about a year post knee replacement, and it was such a big procedure and a big very low point in my life, and you know, it took my health down to a spot where I thought, wow, I think I'll never actually be what I was again, you know, because I have an autoimmune disorder, and the shock and trauma of the surgery really made the autoimmune disorder far more active. So I was just at such a low spot. I'm like, well, I guess this is it. You know, like, this is how aging really happens.
Yeah, we all reach our moment.
Yeah, I guess I have my sun has set.
Right?
That's what I thought, you know. And, you know, I just really kind of plugged away little by little. So, you know, in the beginning, my workouts were 2 minutes. I just kept moving and kept trying and working on recovery and putting little things together and working more in recovery and figuring out what it's like to train in my age group, which is 55. You know, it's hard. I can do like about a third of what I could do when I was in my 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. About a third. On a good day, I can do about half. So, you know, in preparing for international competition, for any competition, with the limitation that age brings on and then the trauma of such a giant surgery, it's been a challenge. And it's been exciting to find out, oh, I actually can't do that. Oh, I can't do that much, but I can do this. Mm. And I can celebrate what I can do.
Which is the kind of message you give to other people through your fitness training. And I don't think I mentioned either that you are the founder of Wine Country CrossFit. And so that mentality that you just described is something you try to instill in other people, isn't it?
It is. You know, at Wine Country CrossFit, we focus on keeping people moving. And really, movement is the panacea. So many aches and pains and maladies and lack of confidence and belief in oneself can be attributed to lack of movement. And so when we get people moving, even in tiny little baby steps like I've gotten myself moving over the last year, it pays dividends.
Yeah, for sure. So what next? Will you compete again next year? What's the plan?
You know, I'm not sure what's next just yet in terms of our team. I'm just going to recover. I got a cold when I was out there in the competition. So by day four of, you know, the competition, I was hurting, but there's no place to do but keep going. So I'm recovering. I'm getting back to work. I'm still dealing with jet lag. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what's next. One of the things we do want to support and nurture is the development of the sport in the U.S. Rafting as a competitive event is very well known outside of the U.S., especially very big in Europe and all the East Bloc countries. And there were a lot of teams from all over Latin America and from all over Eastern Europe. And in the U.S., it's not very well developed and supported at all. And in the 18 years that we've been away, busy, you know, having families and learning to run businesses, the sport has gotten even smaller here. And so we want to nurture the development of the sport in younger people and start training younger people so that in 2020, we could take a team of under 19s to the Whitewater World Championships.
Hmm. Seems like I guess it's not, you know, there's a lot of paddling opportunities here in Napa because you have a river.
Right.
And you have a bay, right?
Right.
Is there a community?
There's a paddling community right here in Napa. It's fantastic. It's an outrigger paddling community. And outrigger paddling is from, you know, Hawaii and the islands. And so there's a club right here called the Ohana Va'a. And I'm part of the club. I really owe it very much to the club that I was able to regain a lot of paddling fitness this summer. And we invite anybody and everybody who wants to experience paddling to come out and try it out with us. We meet at the yacht club down on south of downtown.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Beth Rippins from Wine Country CrossFit and with some, you have some big gold medal, I assume.
I should have brought my medals to show you, Barry. Darn it. I do. I have some, I got some Ching Ching medals. Silver and gold.
All right. Well, congratulations to you and your teammates. And I think I told you on email or something, I fully expected you would win. You just strike me as someone who always wins.
Oh, so I'm a winner.
You're a winner.
Winners thank you, Barry. Right. Well, thank you for that vote of confidence. We didn't have that same vote of confidence in ourselves, but I guess our hard work paid off.
Apparently so. Congratulations.
And consistency. Consistency pays off, yeah. You know?
All right. I try to think that every morning when the alarm clock goes off.
Thank you for having me,
Thanks
Barry.
Thanks for coming in. It's time for a break, 7:26. Some local news on the way at the half hour just ahead.
Celebrate the holidays in Yountville with a full calendar of events, activities, and performances for all ages through January 1st. Events include free carriage rides, free holiday movies at the Lincoln Theater, chocolate ornament decorating, Santa's workshop, free photos with Santa, and much more. Go to Yountville.com for the full calendar of events. Come stroll through town and celebrate the splendor of the season in the brightest town in Napa Valley. It's holidays in Yountville.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the California Army National Guard. Aired by the California Broadcasters Association and this station.
So I'm having this debate with a landlord.
I said, no pets. Can't rent you the apartment.
My dog is not a pet. Look, I'm legally blind. I need my guide dog.
Sorry, those are the rules.
Rules that allow for housing discrimination? So I made a call. Turns out, landlords must make reasonable accommodations for assistance animals.
If you think you've been discriminated against, call your local Fair Housing Center.
Fair Housing is your right. Use it.
Call Fair Housing Napa Valley at 707-224-9720.
I'm going to tell you a story
about how the drug war in Mexico began.
And who was boss.
Only on Netflix.
Miguel Felix Gallardo.
Drug kingpin of Guadalajara.
We take out Felix, we cripple the Mexican drug trade.
Witness the birth of Mexico's drug war.
Got to take down the ones calling.